Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motene, and thank you so much for being with us. Lots coming up on the show today, really jam-packed. As you know, it's a Wednesday, so Ntabiseng Ntubazana is going to be with us just after 9 o'clock. You will not be surprised. I can tell you that for free. We are going to be discussing divorces. Of course, after the country's favorite couple has announced a divorce, we're going to ask the question whether any one of us can oppose it. I laugh, but it's actually a real thing. So Ntabiseng is going to give us some notes on whether people, you know, what does an opposed divorce look like? And can it only be between the two parties that oppose a divorce? So she's got real legal jargon to take us through all of that. So that's going to be really interesting. But I absolutely love the story, okay? This is a story of two university students, right? First year students, believe it or not, two first year students who decided to do some little research on, now of course they're IT students, so that's fine, but they decided to do some research on the SASSA grant application system. Okay, that's that 350, it's now I think 370 grant, that one that that we started getting during COVID. And they noticed that all it took was entering their ID numbers and their names and you're in the system. And what they discovered is that about 90% of students in campus who had never ever applied for the grant were actually on the system as beneficiaries. So it led them to digging deeper and checking this IT system. And can I tell you, it is scary. The leakages in the system are of the kind of scale that will make you weep. So what's nice about the story, they went to address Parliament. They went today and sat in front of Parliament, SASSA and that parliamentary committee, Social Development Committee, to tell them, you better get your act together and go check the system out, because we can prove to you that the system is absolutely flawed with data and everything. So I'm really, really excited about this. And so we're going to speak to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Social Development. And they, upon speaking and hearing from these wonderful students, they said, we have never, ever seen data like this before. We obviously want to do something. Colleagues all around me are rolling their eyes. We obviously are going to do something about it. We are so grateful that they've brought this information to us. So we'll talk to that chairperson or the Portfolio Committee of Social Development in Parliament. I guess the story of today is what has been happening today in Soweto. I mean, absolutely devastating, right? A six-year-old girl who was raped and murdered in Soweto today. Our reporter, Ginilo Huma, was out there today. Ginilo, thank you so much for making time for us this evening. Just give us a bit of background to the story that you've been leading with all day.
Thank you, Usimela. Thanks for having me on the show. So we got a statement yesterday, and this was from the police, who were actually confirming that they've actually launched a manhunt for a Mozambican national. And in that statement, they said they're looking for a man by the name of Petra Sarasinyao, who could assist them in this investigation, and that actually attached a picture. And so what they explained in the statement is that on Monday, a child was reported missing in Orlando East. The child was playing with other kids in the street, and a man came from nowhere and lured the child into a shack. And they said, this is close to the home. But I can tell you also, Melo, when I went to visit this area today, it's not that close to the home. Mm. And this is why this man is not known to this family. Oh, and they also believe that the child does not know this man.
Gosh.
So police now today confirming that actually this Peter Sarasinyao guy is the prime suspect. This is a man who had rented a shack in the area and had indeed, you know, did this, you know, tragic thing to a child, and is now on the run.
And is there a sense, I mean, I know it's early days and the police don't give you much at this point in time, but when the family is trying to piece the story together, do they have a sense how she would have drifted that far? what kind of modus operandi this, you know, this man used to get her and all of that?
I mean, at this point, it's not really clear. But what the mother was saying to us is that this child appeared to have been alone at the time when this man came and actually said, walk with me. Because the family says there's a teenage boy who says, I saw this man speak to the child. Mm. And as soon as the parents were going out, the family was searching, this boy then came up and said, I know what happened to the child. Mm. And actually directed them to him. And unfortunately, that's where they found the black body.
Goodness. What do they know about the so-called suspect?
What we know about the suspect is that he is a Mozambican, so he's 24 years old. He had rented the shack, four streets away from where the Samani family resides, and that he was a welder in the area. He was welding, you know, he'd create burglar-proof doors in the area. He had been renting a shack in this particular house or yard for about 4 months. And we also heard from the landlord today that she had actually kicked this guy out because of certain behaviors that I don't think is appropriate to be able to share on air at this point.
Well, I mean, those behavior patterns, even though are not appropriate to share on air, were they some sort of a clue to this now that we're seeing as a murder and rape of this little girl?
They are indeed. They are. The landlord spoke of how this man was immorally, like his behavior was not too of high moral standard. He didn't behave well. The neighbors were complaining about his behavior in the yard to a point where the landlord was actually concerned for her daughter with regards to this man's behavior.
And he's 24, you said?
He's 24 years old. His passport says he was born in the year 2000.
Tell us about the police progress in getting this particular suspect. How far are they? What updates have they given the family?
The police's spokesperson, Mabela Mazondo, said that, you know, they've now engaged. At first, they began engaging with Mozambican, you know, police officials to say if this man is there, they should assist and alert them. But at this point, they've actually, you know, stepped up the process. They now have reached out to Interpol. They've roped in Interpol in this matter. They've issued a warrant for arrest. So anywhere where he runs to, he definitely will be arrested. But at this point, they don't have any leads. The community today protested. They protested. They went to the Orlando police station. They had held a man in the morning who they believe that is linked to this guy or is a relative.
Mm.
But police questioned this guy and they found that, you know, there's no link. During that search, then police also arrested 9 illegal foreign nationals who are not linked to this case, but, you know, they're not permitted. They're not legal to be in the country.
Well, I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening, Ginelo Huma, who's a CHI reporter who was in Soweto today, just following up on that story. Unfortunately, a 6-year-old girl being raped and murdered by a man who's now, we think is known to the police, allegedly a Mozambican national, a 24-year-old Mozambican national, and the police are urging the community to settle and leave it to them. They have told Interpol and they're saying on the heels of this particular individual. But I mean, at the end of the day, unfortunately, that little life is now gone. We do know that Social Development have said they will step in to assist the family with burials.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.